Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. It's Monday, November 30th, 2015, and this is Coach the Coach, Practicum 1, Class 4, Group C with my caterpillars. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. Can you all believe it is our last class together? I just realized that this morning. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to miss you all already. But hopefully we'll touch base further down the line. But anyway, this is our last class. Boy, this month has flown by. And I'm just so happy that you guys all made it here. I know it's the Monday after a holiday weekend, so it's actually a pretty good turnout for that being the case. Did everyone have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice.
Awesome. I did. I had some square three situation. I was in the middle of, some of you may have read my Facebook post. I was in the middle of cooking a Thanksgiving turkey, actually only a half hour into the turkey for a group of 10, and my oven decided to die.
Oh.
So it was special.
Oh, Dixie, why is that a bad thing? I'm just kidding.
Oh, it was? No. How's that perfect, right? Actually,
kidding.
If you look on Facebook, I wrote how it's perfect because it was like, okay, I can either make this a square one or I can, like, you know, I can just, like, kind of roll with it, which I've kind of had to do. I had no choice. And it was just so special because then I thought, okay, well, at least I can cook, you know, we'll figure out something else with the meat, but I can, you know, cook my other things on the burners. And the burners – turns out that when they were on, my oven continued to – what was happening is the oven was, like, heating up to, like, 1,000 degrees and setting off the smoke alarms and everything. And something was wrong with – basically shot in the little computer situation. So when the burners were on, the oven went back crazy again. So basically it was, you know, start a campfire or make other provisions. So – it worked out. It was a fun, interesting kind of situation that actually ended up being very nice. And thankfully, I had some understanding family members in grocery stores that were open on Thanksgiving morning. So we had a Thanksgiving
cookout.
Did you
have fried chicken?
Yes. Did you see that post?
Yes.
Who was it?
It sounded great.
Who said that?
Oh, this is Adrienne.
Oh, yeah, Adrienne. It actually was really nice. And, it went from special to special because I brought the turkey to my daughter's house thinking we would at least finish it off there, and then her oven died. So I'm like, okay, full moon, power surges, something's going on. But, yeah, we ended up having a cookout and fried chicken. So it was an interesting combination, pumpkin pie and steaks, you know. So anyway. That is life. So anyway, thanks, you guys. I'm glad you all are here, and hope you all had a really nice, interesting weekend. So I noticed I only had one question on the forum. Actually, it was sort of a couple of questions from Hope. And Hope, because I just got that this morning, I just decided to just fold it into today. Actually, you actually inquired about the call, whether it's going to end. I know we've been running over in terms of the norm. First of all, this is our last class together, so I can't really speak for other instructors. I do know that it does tend to sometimes go over 90 minutes, and that's just kind of just the way we flow. I do know other instructors that actually have that happen with them as well, so maybe kind of plan a buffer if that's possible, just in case. The other thing is I always try to include content in the early side of the class. So if we're practicing coaching, then you can, and that's the case with all classes, you can always listen to the last part of the call. So I hope that helps. And let's see, you also asked a really good question about practicing the five whys, which was what I was hoping I would get some questions on that. So you said you were coaching a client. And I'll just read this really quickly for everyone if you haven't heard it or haven't read it. She says, when practicing the five whys this week, a question came up for our small group. I was coaching another cadet who was feeling stressed because of very intense, high-stakes work deadline, where she is coordinating a group of people with a common goal. As we went deeper into the cause of her stress, it became clear that some of it was completely legitimate. Having to meet an important external deadline when the stakes are high for everyone seems to be an objectively challenging situation. So asking, why is that a bad thing, felt beside the point. Where would you go with a situation like that? We eventually guided the conversation into her belief system about her job performance and divided the stress into what we termed clean stress, lots of work to complete in a short period of time, and dirty stress, the feeling that she needed to do a perfect job. And we worked with that, e.g., what's so bad about not being perfect? But I'm not sure if that was the best place to go. Do you have any thoughts about how to crack open a session like this? So, first of all, you did crack it open. So, good job. It sounds like you really did, dig in and find what the cause of her suffering is, which is basically her thoughts about that, right? So,
right.
But back to your question, a couple things I highlighted here. You basically wrote, it became clear that some of it was completely legitimate. Having to find some important external deadline when the stakes are high for everyone seems to be an objectively challenging situation. So asking why is that a bad thing felt beside the point. So let me speak to that a minute. So first of all, if we go back to when we went over what's called the basic coaching model, it's when we live it to give it, but then we find an area of low satisfaction in the client's life. So you were able to find that, right? It was pretty obvious what she was basically feeling stressed because of this work deadline, right?
Right.
And then you're supposed to, then step three of the basic coaching model is find the motivations behind the action or experience. So what I'm hearing here, and tell me where I'm wrong, but it's not in any way to accuse you, but I'm hearing that you kind of thought that this was a completely legitimate reason for being stressed. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, yes. I mean, the others that were on the call also said yes. It is a stressful situation to have. Without going into specifics, she had a deadline. Mm-hmm. They've been working towards this goal for a long time as a team. She was overseeing everybody, and mm-hmm. and felt that there was too much work to do and not enough time to do it. And it sounded from the way she was describing it that she was probably right, that there was an awful lot of work and a very short mm-hmm. period of time. So there was a crunch situation.
Okay.
That she was overseeing, okay. But it was, we were trying to get to her thoughts about that, because someone might see that as an exciting challenge, but she
mm-hmm.
saw it as something very stressful. So I took it to a place
right.
to try to understand why she was feeling stressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying,
right.
I was also consciously trying to separate, well, that would be a stressful situation for me, of course.
Exactly.
I operate under deadlines all the time. I know it's stressful. But everyone else on the call felt the same way, so I thought, well, maybe it's not me. But, you know, we got to a good place where we were able to start uncovering her ideas about having to be perfect, and that was adding to the stress of just having to do a lot of work in a short period of time. But then we sort of got stuck because I felt like, okay, we've uncovered the limiting belief, but we haven't done thought dissolving yet, so I didn't know, like, where
no.
to take it from there. And I thought maybe
you
that's
haven't.
Just where we stop, because that's as far as we've
that's
gotten
where
with,
you would
with,
stop.
As a class.
Exactly, and that's where you would stop, and that's where, remember, like we talked about last class, you would, even uncovering that, what was, you know, driving that, which was an added layer, like you said, my hunch is that that gave her a little more clarity into what was really going on and causing her suffering. And
I hope so.
You could
she
have
said
been,
it did.
I hope
yeah.
so. Exactly. There you go. Well, then it did. Okay. But then you also could have just asked her, you know, when, where does that, you know, where do you feel that in your body? And just kind of shown her the relationship between thinking that she has to be perfect and, you know, how that shows up for her. You know, how, remember thoughts that drive the feelings, that drive the behavior, right? That coaching framework that we talked about. So it sounds
Can
like
I
you really did that. Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Finish up, and then I have a question.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. Does this help?
Yes. I was wondering if this is a good time to do the shackles on, shackles off
because
sure.
I got a sense from her, and this was a hunch that I didn't get to, but my hunch was that she was actually really liked her job, and it was an exciting time, which felt like shackles off, but then the feeling that she needed to do it perfectly was the shackles on, and that was really what was making her feel the most stress.
Yeah, and then that's another thing that you can do. Exactly. That's another thing you can ask, similar to, well, what happens, you know, what are you feeling, and what do you end up doing? You can also say, is that, you know, let them see that this is showing up as a feeling of imprisonment, right? So that in itself is food for thought, you know. So that was perfect. That's a great hunch too. But let me go back to just expounding a little bit on your question. So you get that there is, you know, not everyone has the same motivation, which is like step three. Not everybody has the same, even though it seemed for your little study group like it was completely illegitimate, we don't want to assume anything like that. So you even said that, you know, she was kind of saying there's too much work to do and not enough time to do it. Now, is that a circumstance or is that a thought?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm supposed to say it's a thought, but I don't really know how much work she had to do or how much time she has. So
right.
Sometimes we do have situations where we take on more than we can handle.
Right, and that could be the case. Okay, but the thought, okay, let me just show you the difference. There's too much work to do and there's not enough time to do it versus I have 3 reports that are due on Monday and I have 1 day to do them. That's actually the circumstance.
Okay.
And it's very subtle. And I'm using this for everyone because like I with these questions, it's not directed at you, Hope, it's directed at everyone. That's the circumstance. What she's making it mean is there's too much work to do and not enough time to do it. It could be that she was one of those super, you know, achieving people that only needs 4 hours of sleep, right? So even if she has 3 reports due tomorrow, thinking there's too much work to do and not enough time to do it, is that going to lead her to completing those projects with shackles on or shackles off?
Okay.
It's totally rhetorical. So even those thoughts are kind of, and we're assuming that. We're assuming that, you know, and you said everybody kind of agreed. And it's natural because we all kind of feel that, you know, even reading this, I could just feel it in my body, right? It seems completely natural that there would be so-called clean stress. And in some ways, you know, I'm not going to go into biology and that type of thing, but typically it's still mind-based. So you were asking, you said, why is that a bad thing felt beside the point? Actually, no. If you ask that question, did you ask that question, first of all?
We had, you know, honestly to say, I can't remember if I asked it specifically. Mm-hmm. I think I went to ask it, and then I just sort of paused and asked the group what they thought about it. Mm-hmm. I think I just need a better way to ask that question. I was feeling like I needed to stick to the formula of the 5 whys and ask it that way, and it didn't feel like the right way to ask a why about that.
Because it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? And this is, again, for everyone. It seems so like a duh type of thing, right? And that's because we're still not, you know, first of all, it can feel, just like I said last week, it can feel almost intrusive to ask a sort of one of those no-brainers.
It felt judgmental.
How we're looking at it. And judgmental, exactly. So, again, remember, it's how you say it, and you could always preface it by saying, I know this is going to sound really strange here, and this might not make any sense, but bear with me because I'm just trying to wiggle something here. Why is that a bad thing? And then after she would say, she probably would say something. Can you come up with what she might say just off the top of your head? What might she say?
I thought she, well, for the reasons that I just told you, because we want to get this documentary into Sundance. That's what the issue was.
Mm-hmm. So I'll miss the deadline or I'll do something.
And if I don't, you know, if I don't achieve that, then everything we've worked for will No, actually, that's not what she would say. I think she just would have said, it's a bad thing because it causes stress. And because I don't have enough time to get all that work done.
Okay.
That's what I think
so
she
then
would
what
have
you
said.
Would...
That's where we were sort of
exactly.
going. And then I felt like we were just kind of going in circles.
No. Okay. So I don't have enough time to get that work done. Okay. So she's answering you back with another, with a thought, basically. And then you, what you would say next could be something like, and what would be so bad about not getting all of your work done?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another why about what she said. What would be so bad about that? It sounds like a no-brainer. But
yeah.
At that point, she might have answered something like, well, then, you know, it's going to be something where she's eventually, you're going to come to where she's making it mean something about herself. And you got
mm-hmm.
to that about she needed to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's questioning, it sounds kind of redundant, but it's questioning
mm-hmm.
that answer again. So what's so bad about not, you know, having enough time to finish it? Or I don't have, what's so bad about? What would be so bad about not finishing it in time?
Mm-hmm.
And then see what she says.
Okay.
You know, I would be a failure, or I would be, you know, I'd lose my job. What would be so bad about that? And I know this is counterintuitive to the way we're trained to ask questions, right? It's a challenging kind of drilling down, but it's all about, first of all, you can let the client know that you're exploring, and then it's really getting, it's turning things that we would assume on their head. Does that make sense? Because deep
yes.
down, there's something driving that stress, and it's not just a circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I have to rethink my own ideas about stress. Because like you said, that sounded to me like, wow, that sounds really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to just
yeah, and most of us
from my
agree.
Own ideas stress.
Most
yeah.
of us would agree. But the reason it's stressful is still different for each of us. Does that make sense? So
mm-hmm. It does.
You know what I mean? Okay, so example, my turkey, my oven dies. That most people would be like, oh, my gosh, you know. And most people would be like, that would freak them out somehow. But there could be different mm-hmm. motivations behind that. There's different kinds of thoughts, you know, like my, oh my gosh, you know, my family's coming. They're going to think, here she goes again, you know, or,
right.
you know, I'm, you know, I don't know what it would, oh, you know, I made, well, I didn't want to cook that anyway, you know, and here
mm-hmm.
I did something I didn't want to do. And now I've got to go out and buy an oven. So it's stressful for different reasons. So that and the fact that it might not be stressful for everyone. So we don't want to
mm-hmm.
attach to the client's upset. And we don't want to, you're right, we don't want to belabor the circumstances. We want to find out what is making for that upset or that discomfort. What is she telling herself about that? Right?
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's clear. And I think it's going to take practice, Hope. This is, you know, you guys are just starting with this. And I think
mm-hmm.
it'll make more sense the more you – it's a different way of thinking, and it's a different way of questioning. And I think you just stumbled on that. And it
okay.
makes perfect
Thank
sense
you.
Why you would ask it. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else? Anybody have a follow-up question to that or any other questions or – concerns that have come up with your practice?
This is
or
Rachel.
Anything.
I mm-hmm. just wanted to kind of echo what Hope said, because I've been in very similar situations when I'm coaching, especially people outside of the practice, because that's what I had time to do this week. And it's the same kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And it seems like it's often about the work stuff where they're like, you know, well, I have to make this deadline. You're like, but why? Like, because I'll lose my job. You know, what would be so bad about that? Well, I can't pay my mortgage and I'm the primary care provider for my family. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, and it's hard to be like, well, what would be so bad about getting kicked out of your house? Like, it's hard to.
Right. But you don't, right. There you go, though. But see, then you don't want to really focus on that circumstance. What would,
okay.
you know, what would you make it mean if you couldn't provide for your family?
Okay. I see. That's the tricky part is when you sort of like switch it, I guess.
You go into, you're asking what would be so bad, but you're actually asking, it sounds like that circumstance, but what you're initially asking is what are you, you're still asking what would you, they make that mean. And okay. If they come up with, okay, you, like you find that you're at that wall, you want to look and you want to dig a little deeper. You know, what would you make it mean if you couldn't provide for your family? Because that's really what is the freak out, right?
Right.
There's something there. So it's tracking, and then you just dig deeper. And so, again, we like I said before, the five whys are actually kind of an art. It's mm-hmm. not, and it's kind of an intuitive process. And you may find that it's that you have to back out, and you've kind of gone down the wrong path. And that's perfectly fine, too. But I get that, like you said, especially with a muggle, as Martha calls them, it feels as though we're going somewhere that they don't get the motivation as to why we'd ask those kinds of questions. And that's why you need to maybe preface it with, I know this is going to feel, you know, strange. And it, you know, but I'm going to ask you some questions that initially, you know, you might find to be no-brainers. But I'm asking it so we can explore a little bit about what might be under, you know, these things that we take for granted, right?
I think it's hard because, I mean, speaking for myself, like I have no experience with like successfully getting to the other side, and so I feel like I'm sort of. Going out almost on thin ice, you know, I'm trying to figure mm-hmm. it out and lead them down this path, but I'm not sure where the path leads
myself.
What you would
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what you mean in terms of...
So it's just experience, I guess, just doing it more.
You're saying about leading them in terms of coaching or in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, the thought process, like what would be so bad about that? And I'm thinking like, I can think of 10 reasons why that would be really bad, you know? It's like,
so yeah, so
when you're talking about...
And this is the case for the next few months, guys. That's why mm-hmm. there is what you really want to do to let help yourselves and leave yourself kind of off the hook is when you approach people, let them know initially, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just practicing some beginning tools here. This is not going to be a full coaching session. And each time, you know, when I'll be getting more tools, and I'd really love to practice with you in a couple months again. But right now I'm just going to be using some tools. Don't set yourself up with these people you're telling them you're going to coach them.
Right. You're just practicing a few tools. I think that is a good thing to say.
I'm practicing some tools, and I like to try mm-hmm. to practice these on you. And then when you get to that point where you're on that thin ice, that's when all you have to do is just take them back to their body and take them to that point. Okay, how is this? It's like I think it was Hope or someone else earlier said shackles on, shackles off. It's a perfect mm-hmm. kind of – it's sort of a – it's simple – and it kind of, you can wrap it up there and just basically say, here, how does this feel when you think this thought?
Okay.
And you're going to learn in a couple of weeks, you're going to have more tools. But even while you're practicing in practicum too, and even for the rest of your training, always letting people know, you know, this, I'm just going to try some things out with you and, you know, that I'm learning. And then we can bring it all together in a few months, you know?
Okay.
So not setting yourself up, in other words, with people for that expectation that they're going to have a clarity session.
Well, and I think it's also just my expectation for myself, frankly, more than the other person.
Yeah, it's more
like,
so.
I want them, yeah.
And that's where you do your own work, right? That's your mm-hmm. that's your own work on yourself, and you'll be learning how to do more of that with your self-coaching. But, yes, having the expectation instead – letting yourself off the hook mm-hmm. in your own mind, right? And you can only do that if you really question your own thinking around that. Make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for bringing that up. Anybody else?
This is Adrienne, and I had a little phenomena happen last week when I coached someone.
Mm-hmm.
I coached someone that is close to me, and I found that when I was done, well, first of all, we had trouble wrapping it up because it went well, and we got really deep. You know, we drilled really deep on a particular issue. But I found that I was physically, literally just wiped out. does that mean I'm like way too invested in this or in this person or in the story or has anyone else had that happen?
Do you think, Adrian? What do you think? Do you feel like you were invested in this client's story?
Yeah.
So was it a blind spot or was it just because you were close to this person and you were emotionally kind of caught
I think
up?
It's because I was emotionally connected, which so that made me wonder if I should ever coach anyone that I'm emotionally connected to.
Well, that's going to be something that you will have to figure out as you go along. That's going to be that it is tough to remain objective when we're emotionally attached to an outcome of anyone's, right? Even if it's not even the outcome so much, but it's just that you're, you know, and in some ways that is the outcome. You're caught up in what's going to, that person's going through.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something to watch for. And it's also the case that there's several things going on here, possibly. And I'm just going to throw out what other things come to mind. One of them is that I tend to notice that the cadets and even the coaches that I'm, you know, that I am friends with, many of us are empaths. So we have high intuition, high sensitivity, and as a result, we're somewhat porous to other people's energy. Does that ring true for anyone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so having that empathic nature can open you up to an absolute energy drain whenever you're in close communion with someone, particularly if there's a high level of you know, if it's intense like that. So, again, you're going to want to know that about yourself, and you're going to want to really get clean within yourself, and you'll learn how to do that with your self-coaching, with your preparation, to be able to keep that boundary up. And there's many ways to do that, and you know, for empaths to put themselves like kind of almost with an energetic shield. So keep that in mind. The other thing I wanted to point out, and this is the case for everyone, you're probably going through, there's a learning model that talks about the different stages that you go through when you're learning something new. And some of you may know this, but I'm going to go through it really quickly for those who don't, because I think it's helpful to know. When you first, in the first stages of learning, you're at a point where you really don't even know what you don't know. And that's called unconscious incompetence. So it's ignorance is bliss, basically. And then when you start learning a new skill, you go into a point where you are aware of what you don't know. So you're learning, and you're learning that you're on that thin ice that I think Rachel just described. So it's like, oh, my God, holy shit, you know, I'm at the end of my ice, you know. That's called conscious incompetence. And that's where you guys are right now with your coach training. Even if you've had coach training in the past, in some of the tools and in some of the areas, you're in a state of conscious incompetence. So you're aware that you don't know what you're doing entirely. Tell me where I'm wrong. Anyone? You guys feeling that?
Yes, I felt like maybe that was why I was so emotionally drained.
And I'm
because I was.
Yeah. You're trying hard, right? When we're in conscious incompetence, we have to concentrate on everything we're doing. So if you've ever learned a new skill, like, you know, anything physical, like riding a bike or skiing or, you know, anything like that, you're learning to type. I don't know if any of you had typing classes, like the old school way, not the thumbs, right? But when you learn to type, it's that concentrated kind of that effort. That's where you are right now with your coaching. Because you're trying to be open with the client, and you're also thinking in your mind, okay, what's next, right? So that can be very exhausting. So it's true?
That was truer for me than that I was involved in the story, because the story didn't bother me. I wasn't You know what I mean?
Got it.
But I was wondering if it was what you just described, which I asked.
Yeah. Yeah, my hunch is it's that and some empathic nature there going on too. Next, after that, eventually you get to the point where you're doing what you need to do, and you're actually getting it, but you're still having to think as you do it. So that's called conscious competence. So you're still very aware, but you kind of know you're going to be able to pull it off. And then ultimately you get to a point where it's second nature, and that's called unconscious competence. So you actually, it's like when you drive a car now, and all those stages apply to how you learn to drive a car. Right now, most of us can drive, and you know, half the time you'll get home and you'll realize, wow, I wasn't even paying attention, you know? It's just second nature to you. So that will come. But realizing that you're in a state of conscious incompetence right now will also, you know, hopefully give you a sense of gentleness with yourself. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Anybody else feeling consciously incompetent?
Mm-hmm. This is Lisa for sure.
Well, it's just good. Who actually just brought that up a minute ago? Who was that, who was I just talking to? Who said that they were coaching a friend?
Oh, Adrian.
Oh, Adrian, that's right. So Adrian, yeah, I think it feels nice. Adrian can feel like she's not the only one, right? Yeah, my hunch is most of you are feeling that on some level.
Yes, and there's a voice inside my, this is Lisa again, there's a voice inside my head, mm-hmm. going, you can't really do that. You know, like the voice of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard sometimes.
It is, and then your lizard's there just, you know, giving you a field day, right?
Totally.
He or she is like, see, I told you, you know?
Exactly, yep.
So, yeah, that's a big part of all this. It's getting over that hump, and, you know, it's like the training wheels are just, you know, you're still there with your training wheels in some ways, and yet, you know, you remember how it was when you first started to ride a bike and the training wheels came off, and, you know, you're being pushed along. And you're like, don't let go, you know. Mm-hmm. It's freaky, right? It will get better. And that's why, you know, we're encouraging you to work with each other too, because you guys are all in the same boat in different ways. So I hope that helps a little bit.
I think
and
it's also,
mm-hmm, go ahead.
It's also just because I think most of us, or a lot of us doing this, are sort of have always felt like naturally good at helping people,
mm-hmm.
and naturally, like,
yep.
Well, I sort of have always been coaching people, and now we're like, oh, except it hasn't been anything like this, and I'm actually really bad at this. Like, that's my lizard.
Yep.
You know.
Who's this?
This is Rachel again, sorry.
Rachel, okay. No,
yeah.
That's awesome, and that's a really good point, Rachel, because if we've come from backgrounds where we've actually been trained in other modalities, or where we're, you know, we like you say, we've felt we've always had a propensity for this stuff, now we're having to unlearn. So it's not just learning something new. It's actually unlearning and relearning, right? So that can really make the lizard go off. I know for myself, you know, I have a counseling background, which is nothing like my coaching. I mean, it is and it isn't, but there's a vast split there, right? So for me, it was like, oh, that's right. You know, this is coaching. I have to kind of hold that back and unlearn this. So good point, Rachel.
Dixie, this is Adrienne again. So speaking of therapy, people ask this question a lot, and I try to give them the answer that I think Martha gave us about the difference between therapy and life coaching. But do you want to illuminate us a little bit on the difference?
Well, it's, you know, it's basically as simple as we're not working with people. We're not trying to help somebody who is unwell. That's not to say that people that come to us are not going to have problems. You know, that's not the point. But we're actually helping to support someone to become more well. So there, people are coming, the worried well, as Martha says. They're coming to us to help be able to get past those limitations that hold them back. Whereas people come to therapy to heal something, right? The other thing that's really simple to remember about coaching and therapy is that therapy, you go back into your past. So with therapy can go on for years, right? You know, just, okay, where did this come from? And let's explore your childhood. And with coaching, we really, you know, we'll listen to a client, you know, initially it's okay to let them say, you know, where they think, you know, they've been before or how they've gotten to a point. But then we don't want to go back and delve into the past with them. It's really not important to coaching. It's how it's impacting them now. So even if they've had, you know, conditioning and they have, you know, they come to coaching with these, with some kind of a belief system, a really strong, you know, belief system, it's not our job to go into, well, where do you think that came from? That's irrelevant. In our approach, it's how is this impacting you right now? How is this holding you back, in other words, from being your best version of yourself? Okay. So it's optimizing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So if people are still in that state of, you know, when they need to have therapy, they need to be healed. They need a healing process to occur. And some people, and you'll have an ethics class with Carrie DeMeo that will take this and explain this in great depth. It's okay to coach someone if, you know, if they're in therapy as well in certain cases. It really depends on how much work they've done and, you know, where they are and why are they coming to coaching with you. What's their reason for coaching? But we're always here to question the thinking that's holding them back, not so much the basis of that thinking from, you know, where they started to get that thinking. That's irrelevant. Remember, the circumstance isn't where we're going. So hopefully that kind of expounds on that a little bit.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, any other questions before we get into some coaching groups here? Let's do some practice. All right. So I want to get, like we've done before, I want to set up another duo here of two of you, and I'd really like to, there's a couple of you that haven't done either coach or client. So if you know that that's you, I'd really like to see you do one or the other today. We're going to try to get everyone accounted for at some level. So, and trust me, this is the time to coach. You know, each practicum gets a little harder, so This is your sandbox here, guys. We're just playing, you know. There's no judgment. So who would like to be my first coach? Okay. I don't want to have to call on somebody, but I might have to. Who wants to coach who hasn't coached?
This is Katrina. I will coach.
Have you coached, Katrina?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I see that. Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Katrina. All right. Good for you. Brave Katrina.
Thanks.
Hurricane Katrina. You bet you get that all the time. I bet. Who would like to be Katrina's client who hasn't been a client? And ideally, someone who hasn't done either.
That would be me. This is Hope. I coached several times this past week, but I was not coached,
okay.
So I'll do it today.
So you want to be a client, Hope. Okay, great. And then let's get our second group before we get started here. Who would like to be my second coach who hasn't coached?
I haven't coached. This is Aida.
All right, Aida. Yes, you haven't done either, so that's wonderful. Thank you, Aida. And who would like to be Aida's client who hasn't been a client or hasn't done either one? Come on, guys. Surely you can think of something. I know that a weekend with family on Thanksgiving is fodder for something.
I haven't, this is Lisa, I haven't been a client, I've been a coach, if nobody else.
Okay, you go for it.
Okay, cool.
I don't think anyone's going for it, so Lisa, you're up. All right, let's do Katrina and Hope first. And again, we're going to just be using the access tools, just playing with those and seeing where you can get to. And everyone else, just be taking notes and listening. Remember, we're trying to sort out circumstance, thoughts, and feelings and behavior. So just kind of keeping the ear on all of those things and breaking those down. And again, I might interrupt if it's just for class teaching purposes, Katrina's. Do not take it personally. And you can call me. I've got coffee on. If you need a break, you can call me anytime. All right?
Okay.
All right. Take it away.
All right. Hi, Hope. How are you?
Hi, Katrina. Happy holiday.
Thank you. Same to you. So tell me what in your life is an area of low satisfaction.
Let's think. I don't feel particularly unhappy about anything right now. So what's low satisfaction? I'll just pick something that's happening today. I have to leave work today to go up to the house to meet the plumber because I'm starting renovations on the house in preparation for either selling or renting it out. And that is a pretty – that's a – difficult situation in my household for a number of reasons. So, and I'm sort of by default the one taking the lead on this because I'm the one who wants to move. So I guess today is going to be like my first real foray into starting to fix the things that need to be fixed. And so I'm having a lot of feelings about that.
Okay, so working on a house renovation, and you're kind of the ringleader of this idea. Is that what I heard you say, that you're the one leading?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Yeah. We have quite a few projects that need to be done, and my husband is really resistant to doing them. So I'm pressing forward on my own, and that's causing some tension between us.
Okay. So if I'm understanding correct, you're the one who wants to move, but your husband does not.
Yes, and that's been going on for quite a while, and I finally, you know, said I can't live here anymore. I have to make this move, and if we're not going to do it as a team, then I have to move forward myself. I've waited a long time to do this together, and we're up against, you know, kind of a deadline, and so I'm just going to press forward on my own, and so I'm starting that process this afternoon.
Okay, so pressing forward on your own means you take charge of the whole housing renovation project, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to pay for part of it, but the finding the contractors and being the one at home to meet with them, and I guess what I am most reluctant about, because I feel really committed to moving, the house is too big for three people. Our older daughter went to college. It's a big distance from, you know, civilization, really, and my younger daughter needs to be closer to her friends than her school. And so I'm making the move for her and for me. But I guess, you know, I'm feeling a little sad and angry about not being able to do this with a partner who is committed to the same cause. I mean, he wants to move. He's fine with moving. He just doesn't want to do the work. And that's been going on for quite a while. So instead of waiting for him, and this was a healthy thing for me, I think, instead of waiting for him to finally decide he's got time in his life to do these things, I realized, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to have time or ever going to make time, so I'm going to have to be the one to do that. And I'm trying to do it without resentment and shift it to excitement. Let's get these things fixed. Let's move into a new chapter of our lives. But it's hard not to feel sad and a little resentful about having to do most of this myself.
Yeah, so that leads me to my question of what's so bad about doing it yourself?
Well, because I'm a working parent in the household too. So in addition to my work and and my daughter, then I'm taking on what feels like a third job that I wish could be shared. And I've accepted what's bad about doing it myself is that it's going to be a whole lot of extra work on me at a time when, I have a lot of other things I'd also like to be doing. It's not, but I've set aside time to do it. So I will. It gets to, okay, so now we're going to get to some belief systems, I think, because this is very helpful. We're going to get into arguments about the money, and I hate arguing with my husband about money. Because, we both have our own money issues from our childhood, and they're not always in sync. And I'm gearing myself up for this. Like, he knows I'm working with the plumber. I've been waiting 6 months for him to fix the faucet, and he can't make the time, so I finally said, that's it, I'm calling a plumber. This is ridiculous. And, but this morning when the plumber said he'll come at 12:30, at this moment where I thought, if I tell my husband the plumber's coming at 12:30, we're going to get in an argument because he still thinks he can fix it himself, even though I've been waiting 6 months. But if I just have the plumber come and do it, and then he comes home and it's done, he'll be fine with it. He won't give me a hard time, so I'm just going to do that. And, then I started feeling like, that's a bad thing, because I don't like feeling like I'm hiding information from my husband. But after almost 20 years, I sort of know how he rolls, so I'm just doing it in a way to limit conflict.
So I'm going to take a time out here. I'm going to call time out. Katrina, Hope will be right with you. You can actually have some coffee, too. We have some over there waiting for you. Katrina, if you'd like some coffee, I have it. If not, some tea or whatever. So you're doing great. I'm just calling it. I'm taking a break here so we can kind of let you kind of catch up with where this has been going, because this is a lot of information, right?
Right.
Hope's given you a lot. You asked some really good questions. You've been doing some really good active listening. Wondering where if you have any hunches or where you think the real upset is here for Hope. And it sounds like there may be more than one thing.
Yeah. I was thinking about taking it direction of and of asking the question of why is it so, what's wrong with having an argument with the idea of maybe getting her to think of constructive ways to address, areas of where they wouldn't agree on something.
Okay.
I don't know.
So remember, though, we're not trying to get to problem solving.
We're trying to get
to the upset. So we're not taking her into the constructive measures right now. We're just trying to get to what might be going on inside of Hope. So you asked a great question earlier, and I just want to point this out. You kind of started to sort. Now, the argument issue kind of came up as a third thing. Initially, she said that she was sad and angry and resentful, right?
Yeah.
And then she also said she's going to have to move forward on her own. So you said, what's so bad about moving forward on your own?
Right.
And she said, that's going to be a lot of extra work for me. I have other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that that is the primary issue, moving forward on her own in that regard? Or do you think it's something else?
I think it's something else.
Mm-hmm. So what did she say to you initially? What was her first kind of download about what was really bothering her with this whole situation? Do you remember?
Like when it started, she was saying that she was going to start the process of the renovation.
Mm-hmm. And she also said some feelings. Do you remember some feelings that she gave you?
She talked about trying not to be resentful or angry about having
Exactly.
On her own. Okay.
Yet she is resentful. She said she's sad and angry.
Right.
And then she brought up resentment also. And she said My partner isn't committed to the same cause that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could say more about that.
Exactly. Or you could ask her, what do you make it mean that he's not?
Okay.
Because she kind of, right there are feelings, and typically when we hear feelings, that's an area to go toward, because that is going to lead us to a thought or a cluster of thinking, okay? And the arguments about money, that's another whole thought process, right? So,
right.
But typically, you know, when the client can go on and on and on, but you kind of had a trail there. So I'm wondering if you might want to explore that. And that's up to you. You can go with the argument.
Okay.
But you're trying to look at what's behind it, okay?
Okay.
So see if you could formulate a hunch or ask a why question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Huh. Okay, Hope. So what do you make it mean when you say that your husband isn't committed to this project or to the same goals, I think, you know, that you are?
Well, I think it feels that we're heading, that we're sort of have different ideals and goals for ourselves at this point in our marriage, maybe, that I'm ready to make a move in a direction that I think will be positive for the family. And he's very happy and content to keep things the way they are. And I guess I feel like I'm ready to move on, and changing our location is part of that. And I don't mean move away from him at all. I mean, we have a good marriage in that. I just mean there's an evolution in the family that I'm aware of and I feel happening, and I think it's time for exciting new changes, and I'm ready for them. And I don't want to be held back. So I guess, you know, it feels like we're on different paths in that respect. And I wish that they, you know, wish we were more on the same page about it. Because we have been talking about it for quite a long time. It's not a problem. Yeah. Make it happen.
Okay. What would be so? Oh, no, you go ahead. You go ahead. Go for it.
What would be so bad if you didn't move ahead at this time exactly the way you had in mind?
I feel personal stagnation. You know, I felt stuck for a really long time and have done a lot of work on myself in the past 6 months to start feeling unstuck. And and I know that this is the next right step for me, but I'm trying to balance that against what's the right step for the family. But it's also very much, I think, the right step for the family. The kids want to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't want to feel like I'm dragging someone along, you know, who isn't in it with us. I don't, it's part of my belief system is that I want to be fair to everybody. I don't want to steamroll other people with my needs or desires. But I feel really clear I need to be happy, and it's taken me a long time to get there, and I'm so glad I got there, you know, and I've been patient, I feel, with not pushing us to make this change in our family, and now I'm kind of running out of patience because it's a good time to sell. Mm-hmm. And it's just so good with the young one starting high school next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, everything seems aligned.
Hope, I'm having some trouble hearing you. Is anyone else having trouble hearing Hope?
Yeah, I like your breaking up a little bit coming in and out.
Yeah, you're breaking up Hope.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go try to stay on somewhere else. See if it might be my signal in my office. I don't know. Is this better?
Yeah, we heard most of it. It's just it was starting to kind of go between words. Yeah.
Okay.
Katrina, did you get what she was saying mostly, though?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
So my sense is that you've done all this work. You feel like you've made some progress internally, and you're sort of like now in a place all by yourself. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's part of it. Also, I think my belief system, I guess, is that I don't want to come across like it's my way or the highway. You know, I don't want to feel selfish, like this is good for me, so everyone has to do it. And that's not what's happening. I know that because my kids are very positive about, you know, changing our living situation. But I do feel a bit like I'm strong-arming it when I have to do it myself. I don't even know if that's true. Like I said, my husband will come home and see that the kitchen sink's been fixed, and he'll be fine with it. He'll just argue with me before it happens, but afterwards he'll be fine with it. It'll be done, and we'll finally have a new faucet. But I guess, you know, I don't like the feeling that I have to take charge to get things done, because then it feel like I'm, you know, being bossy and controlling, and I don't like feeling that way.
So Katrina, what have you been hearing? I'm just going to stop for a second, just for sake of time here. What have you been hearing? Have you heard any limiting beliefs from Hope?
Well, it seems like, if I'm getting the picture right, her husband is kind of okay with all this. He's not, mm-hmm. It seems like he's not actively joining her in the process, but he's okay with it. And I don't get the sense he's putting up any resistance, but Hope seems to think that she's somehow doing something wrong in this process of wanting to create change, and that she's...
Right. So what are you hearing, any thoughts about that? What thoughts have you heard? Have you heard any limiting thoughts?
I've heard, well, that she said that she doesn't want to strong-arm the process, that she's that she doesn't want to be bossy or
mm-hmm.
or over.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure exactly what to do with that next.
Right. So if you could take some of those, that thinking, and you could put it, break it down, because we're kind of trying to get to, typically when a client's limiting thoughts come down to some kind of a judgment, it's usually remember I said it's like a should or a shouldn't or a can't, right? It's something mm-hmm. that we're believing in really strongly. Mm-hmm. And I think you did a good job of kind of honing in on some of this thinking that's coming up for Hope. So I'm going to stop this session right now, and I'm going to ask you, you know, where would you have gone with it next, just for curiosity?
I would have had her question her belief that she is strong-arming or mm-hmm. being that overbearing.
Okay.
Had her question that belief.
Yeah. I love that. That's good. I just wanted to know where you were going to go, and that sounds like a great way to go. I liked some of the questions you asked. You did some really great why questions. You said, "What's so bad about having to do most of this myself?" You further on, you said, "What would be so bad about if you didn't move ahead in the way that you'd planned?" And she basically let you know that, you know, it's just basically, there didn't seem to be any limiting thinking there so much. It was more like, this is just something that I'm clear on that I want to do.
Yeah.
So the gist of her upset is in some of these things that she's telling herself about how mm-hmm. she's proceeding, right?
Right.
So good job, Katrina. I thought you did a great job. You used some really good whys. You did a tell me where I'm wrong. That was perfect. And you didn't say I have a hunch, but you put it into a form where you basically did the tell me where I'm wrong. And so that made it hunch form, right? It wasn't like this is the way it's going. But you said, tell me where I'm wrong. So that was great. Hope, how was that for you?
I felt like we were starting to get to the core of it. It was really helpful. Because, I think
I was trying to think, what are my limiting beliefs? My limiting beliefs are that if I take charge, then I'm being overbearing. That's a limiting belief.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was that if two people own a house together and live there together and a lot of work needs to be done to prepare for a move, then we should, there's a should, mm-hmm. be doing the work together.
Yep.
So that's worth looking at. I mean, just in terms of equity and like social justice in the family, it seems to me like that would be a nice thing to have, but what does it mean to me not to have it is worth looking at.
Right, but the resentment comes, and I think you're catching this. This is beautiful, and Katrine uncover this. The resentment, you know, my hunch is that you talked about sadness and anger and resentment. That comes when there's that should, right?
Right.
That, so it's not that it would be nice that makes resentment. It should be this way. So my partner should be committed to the same cause that I'm committed to. Or my partner, you know, I heard another one, we should be on the same page. I mean, you didn't say that, but that's kind of what's coming through.
Yeah, I think it's more, if this is a situation that's no longer working for anyone in the family, the odd man out should be willing to make a change mm-hmm. that accommodates 3 out of 4 people.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's resentment there. There's some thinking mm-hmm. around your husband's lack of involvement. And then there seems to be some really strong, painful thinking around your actions, right? You said something, I'm strong-arming it, right? Even that statement, strong-arming, has
I know, it's
kind
of silly that I feel like after 6 months waiting for a faucet to be fixed to finally call a plumber is an act of, you know,
right.
Bossiness. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you said, I have to take charge.
Mm-hmm.
And even that could be causing some resentment.
Mm-hmm.
But behind that, there's also this other belief that if you take charge, you are strong-arming it. You're going after this in a way that's unfair to other
mm-hmm.
people. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a judgment against how you would be taking charge.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Or do you feel that?
Yes.
Or am I wrong?
Yes,
okay.
yes, and, you know, it's worth me looking at where's that coming from because
mm-hmm.
I do get stuff, you know, I get stuff done. I'm also the one in the family. I don't know if this is a limiting belief or just fact. I'm the one in the family who tends to get stuff done. Me when I want things done, you know. They go to their dad
mm-hmm.
for other things that are important, too. But, you know, in any family system, there's a division of labor, and I'm the one who gets stuff done. I guess I'm not comfortable in that position. I need to look at why.
Right. And there are judgments behind that about the getting stuff done. And again, it could fork off into resentment that you are the one that has to get stuff done, that you're the only one, right? Or it could also be,
mm-hmm.
I get stuff done, you know, and you feel somehow bad about yourself in that role. And my hunch is it's kind of both. There's kind of a cluster of thinking here.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite probably. Thank you.
Did anyone else from the class?
Helpful.
You're welcome. Did anyone in the class hear anything else? Any other limiting thoughts or any marmosets that you would go with? I think Hope gave us a lot of, she was very direct with her, and I think she came up with her thinking kind of on her own. Trina, you really did, you shepherded that along beautifully. So thank you both. And hopefully, you will reach out to your coaching buddies and take, you know, work on these limiting thoughts because it does sound like there is a cluster there. And that's
mm-hmm.
usually the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and listen to the recording, you will hear yourself and maybe be able to kind of, you know, refine some of what you're kind of trying to come up with within yourself. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank
you, Katrina.
Both.
That was really helpful.
Oh, good. Thank you.
See, Katrina, and you didn't even have to get to, you didn't have to dissolve anything, right? It's just with these initial tools, guys. It's like our clients even have they have food for thought, and it gives them kind of an opening to what might be really going on inside of them. So awesome, beautiful. Okay, Aida and Lisa, you guys are up next.
Hi, Lisa. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Aida.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. Good. Well, it's cloudy and rainy here, and I was wondering what areas of cloudiness or rainy things are in your life right now that you would want to talk about.
I love that intro. Let's see. I have a husband thing too. Okay, this might be too much husband thing, but I wanted the cloud in my life is how I can maintain my integrity while accommodating my husband. All of his family lives in Arkansas, and we haven't gone there in about 4 years. And we have kids, and so it's important for them to see. He's got a dad who's remarried and a mom who's remarried, so that's two sets of families, plus a grandma who's there who wants her own time with us. We have done this a couple of different ways before. One time we bounced between all three houses and physically moved every 2 or 3 days to see everyone, where we packed up the babies and we got all of the suitcases, and we moved from place to place to place and had individual visits. And then the next time I was exhausted and said, no, we need to stay at one place, and so we chose the grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
And his conversation this weekend is, I don't want to go unless we bounce around again and stay at all three places, regardless of how comfortable they are, how kid-friendly they are, how comfortable I feel as the daughter-in-law to stay with different people. You know, it's trying to accommodate him and what he wants with how to stay in my best self and not lose it.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and I feel like I can hear the exhaustion in your voice just talking about it.
Oh, my goodness. I try to hide it.
But, so can you tell me more, I guess, about your conversation with your husband and, you know, why he seems to have sort of put this, why he was not okay with what you guys did last year? Was that something that was okay for you?
It was so peaceful for me because we stayed at the place that was biggest and had two guest rooms for us and the kids, and really comfortable, easy people to get along with. And it was fabulous for me being the outsider, and the kids enjoyed it because they had space and they were on 20 acres, and it was marvelous. The conversation went like this. It's time for us to go to Arkansas again, says my husband. I say, oh, good. When do you want to do that? Well, how about next month? Okay. Tell me more about where we're going to stay and how all this is going to work out. Well, we can't do what we did last time, which was stay at one place, because I felt so guilty, and my dad made me regret it, and my mom made me feel guilty, and I can't live with the guilt. I would rather not go than stay with one place and not stay overnight with the other. I want to wake up and have coffee with everybody, and it just is not the same to me, and everybody makes me feel guilty, and I can't deal with it. And so I repeated that back to him, and he said, yes, you understand, that's it. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't know where to go. How about if we get a hotel? And he said, no, that would be even worse, because that tells them they're not worthy of us staying there. So that's where we left it. He said he didn't want to go if we couldn't do that. And so maybe I just compromise.
Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Would you not going this year, or I mean, if your husband has said, unless we do this, then I don't want to go, would you not going this year be something that you would be okay with?
You're asking the wrong person. No, I feel like we should go because Grandma's old. She's almost 90, and she's a wonderful person to visit, and I want the kids to know her.
Okay.
So I feel like we really, it's time to go.
Okay.
Don't want to waste
okay.
it.
Okay. You don't.
So I'm going to stop again for a second. Just a pause here for a second, guys. Coffee talk here. So Aida, so you're
yes.
getting a lot of information. You asked her to say more about it. So you've got a ton of stuff about, like, you know, kind of the circumstances of what's going on, and you kind of have heard about her husband's perspective. So what do you think is going on with Lisa regarding this?
I think that I think what I wanted to understand from her, which I don't know if I totally did, is whether she wanted to go or not, whether this is something that she was just compromising, because I think when she first told me, like, about her husband, it sounded like that was, you know, he kind of made this ultimatum, and we either
mm-hmm.
go, we don't go. So I think I wanted to get a better idea of whether she even felt like she had a say in, like, whether they go or they don't.
So what does your gut tell you? If we were just having any, and we were chatting about what we've just heard, what do you
yeah.
think the answer is to that?
I think that Lisa could probably, I mean, it sounds like she has she understands her husband's motivations and his guilt. So I think she could either I think she might I'm sorry, I'm, like, struggling a little bit with
What is your hunch? Like, if you had to take a guess about what's going on with Lisa, what do you think, what is your hunch about what's really bugging her or bothering her about them?
I think it's that her husband doesn't account for her point of view in this, and how, you know, what makes her comfortable as the daughter-in-law, as, like, his wife, versus, like, what makes his relatives and his family
mm-hmm.
comfortable, and him, essentially. So I think that those are the two things that I feel like.
So how would you put that into a succinct hunch?
I would say I have a hunch that there might be some painful, I'm just going to borrow your words, that there might be some painful thoughts around whether you are as much of a priority to your husband as his relatives and family.
Okay, and then what would you say?
Tell me where I'm wrong.
And Lisa, since you were really with us, did you hear that?
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell her where she's wrong.
I think she's right. I feel like he's choosing his parents' comfort over mine and our families. And it feels out of my integrity to not at least say, hey, this is not the easiest way to have our family travel.
Sorry, are we still having coffee, or?
Yeah, go ahead. It's up
okay.
to you, Aida, but you certainly,
okay.
you can take your coffee with you if you want.
Coffee to go.
Okay. Okay, so, okay, I'm sorry, now I'm, like, totally frazzled.
Now you need some more. Okay.
Yes.
So she gave you, she actually came back. Your hunch was great.
Yes.
Because I don't know if anyone else noticed, but did you notice the energy that she came back with? Before it was sort of, I don't know, softer, and she was just kind of giving you information. I didn't feel sense any real feelings coming out until you asked that hunch or until you threw out that hunch, Aida. So well done.
Okay.
And then she pushed back. She didn't push against it, but she basically said, you are right. He's choosing his parents' comfort over mine and his family's. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you feel the power that she said that? How strongly
yeah.
she said that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you hit on something really powerful there. You hit on something strong. That and that's causing, my hunch is that in itself is a strong enough limiting thought that's causing Lisa a lot of distress.
Hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong, Lisa. He's choosing his family's comfort over his own family's, his parents' comfort, I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right.
Right, right. And then you went on to say it's out of your integrity not to, you know, have told him what your needs were. I believe that's what I heard you saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I think the way I was brought up is just do what the husband says. However, having seen other things, that's not where I stand, and I will continue to say, hey, this is not going to be easy for us as a family. I may
right.
still do it.
So that's what you feel that you need to do. However, that thought that Aida helped you uncover, he's choosing his parents' comfort over mine.
Mm-hmm.
Or over the or over his family's.
Yes.
How do you feel when you think that?
It pisses me off. I don't understand it.
Mhm.
And I know, you know, when it's your immediate family, I know that there's a comfort there that the in-law may not have. But it really upsets and angers me that the conversation goes like this, where we end up with, well, then we're just not going to go because it feels a little bit like a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure the kids know their grandparents and great-grandparents, but I was hoping to do it in a way that was comfortable for everyone.
Right. So, Aida, you've got a thought there, and you've also got her feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to really be able to dissolve this thought. But like I was explaining to somebody earlier, you can still point out to her and ask her how that might show up inside of her body and how she might react when she's thinking that. He's choosing his family's comfort over mine and his family or ours. Aida, are you with me? Do you understand that that's a thought that you helped her uncover?
Yeah, I feel like you did that much more naturally because I think, like, when she came back and said, okay, you're right, and this is, your hunch is correct, like, I think I didn't expect her to say that maybe, or I thought maybe, like, she might have, like, some other, like, additional thoughts or whatever, and so I think I was kind of like, okay, so if I'm right, what do I do from there? And then, so now, like, she has, like, you know, I can see that she's hurting, that, you know, she's not a priority. And so
right.
And then, so as a coach, then I ask her, like, where she's feeling that in her body. Is that?
No, I'm just giving you something right now, if you wanted to, since we don't have a lot of time. I was just saying that this could, you could either take that thought or you could go further. Absolutely. I didn't mean to hijack that from you. I was just pointing out that she basically
you didn't.
Handed you a thought. But, you know, you could also take that thought, he's choosing his family's comfort over mine and his family's, and you could say, you know, why is that a problem? And you could actually see if there's something behind that. All I was saying is my hunch is that in itself, that particular thought, is causing her a lot of discomfort.
Okay. Okay.
And he's and it's really, if you think about it, it's actually a should. That's my hunch, Lisa. He should be choosing us over his parents.
Ooh, yeah.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
That feels right.
Doesn't feel good, though, does it?
No, not when you say it like that.
Yeah. So, I was just pointing out that you did a beautiful job with your hunch because you actually got right to, she came up with a very powerful limiting thought. You know, and you could drill down into that. You know, you just didn't catch it. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, that you didn't feel like you caught the thought. That, you know, you didn't hear it yourself, maybe as a thought.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'd like to give you opportunity.
I think I was scared because I didn't, you know, I heard the circumstances and everything around that thought. But I think it was only like when you kind of were drilling into me, like about what I... what my hunch was that's when it kind of came up.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, I wasn't trying to drill into you, but I was. But yeah,
no,
sense,
I mean,
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, I guess what I'm hearing you say is that it's just you just felt kind of, you just felt kind of overwhelmed and didn't know where to go with it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, yes, like when she said that was it. Like, I think my immediate thought was like, okay, how can I comfort her and how can I all this situation? And I think, yeah, that's where I feel like even in my sort of like, you know, when I'm talking to friends or coaching friends, yeah, that's exactly where my, like, I feel like I can get to, like,
what's hurting them or what's bothering them?
Hurting them, yeah. And but after that, I just, you know, my inclination is just to comfort and just to provide like some kind of like a immediate solution. But and that's how I don't know where to.
And remember, you're in that conscious incompetence, as all of you guys are, with these tools, right? And so it's natural to be able to want to. That's how we've always been. That's the type of people we are. So you're doing nothing wrong by feeling that way. It's just, and it's okay to say, you know, how is that making you feel? And then to say, you know, I hear you, you know.
Okay.
So what you would just do next, I asked her how do you feel when you think that thought? And she said she's angry and pissed off.
Mm.
Right? So instead of getting caught up in that with her, what you as a coach want to do is just help her explore where that shows up, how that shows up in her body, and how she might act when she's hearing him say, or when she's saying to herself, he should be choosing me over his family, over his parents, how she might react then. So instead of going there with the client, we're kind of being more objective and just trying to get them to see how that's furthering their upset. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So just for example, so Lisa, when you're thinking to yourself, he shouldn't be choosing his parents over us, how does that, you said it makes you feel angry and pissed off. How might you react when you think that thought?
I don't have a lot of patience, and I'm dismissive.
Right.
It's hard for me to hear what he's saying and get into, you know, how he's feeling when I'm feeling hurt about that basic thought.
Right. And so is that shackles on or shackles off?
Shackles on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, again, we're not doing anything with that thought right now, Aida. We're just kind of helping the client to see how the thinking is what's really causing the pain, not the circumstance. The fact that the circumstance is the husband made this declaration, right? Mm-hmm. That was his business. That's his. That's where he's coming from. He said that. This is where I want to go, or I don't want to go anywhere. That circumstance.
Okay.
Her thought, and this is for everybody, this is for the whole class, her thought is he's choosing his parents' comfort over mine and his family's. And when she thinks that, she gets angry and pissed off. And when she's angry, she doesn't have, she's dismissive of her husband. She doesn't really have the patience to really even be able to talk about her integrity. Right, Lisa? Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're right.
So you're not able to then be in your own integrity to be able to share with him what your needs are.
Right.
So that,
not
that
in the manner
basic,
that I would like to, not without
exactly
whining
not
about
with,
it.
And that's because that's not your integrity. Tell me where I'm wrong. Your integrity isn't to be demanding and whiny.
Right.
Your integrity is to be strong and very protective of what is important to you. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get there when you're holding on to that thought. In next class, next practicum, you'll learn how to get rid of that thought. But I really have just kind of hijacked your session here, but it was purposeful, and you did a great job. And I want to thank you for that, because you did great, and you said say more. You asked her some really good leading questions, and then when I pulled you aside and I loaded you up with caffeine, and you hung in there with me, and I was pushing you to come up with a hunch, and the hunch was beautiful. And as soon as you gave that in a hunch form, because deep down you really do know, you knew what you were hearing. It's just that you couldn't pull it together. It was hard for you to pull it together as you were in the moment with her. That's just that learning curve. But you had it. As soon as you gave it to her, she was like strong with how she felt. Very, very strong with her thought. So thanks so much, Aida. That was excellent.
Thank you.
Aida,
and thanks for hanging in there while I go ahead.
Wanted to say you were very easy to talk with, and I appreciated that you wanted to comfort me. That's such a nice friend.
Aww.
Thank you.
Here's a big hug to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so great. So, guys, we're at the end of class here. I do want to thank all of you. This has been a wonderful couple of sessions. And you guys are both of the clients and both of the coaches were just extremely transparent, authentic, and open. And thank you for being okay with my jumping in and dissecting here. And it's, again, it's not because you did anything wrong. It's just to have opportunity to let everyone understand some of the things that, I'm seeing as an instructor. So
I
appreciate that openness.
I liked it when you did that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. So, as I said earlier, I'm going to really quickly, I mean, we're going to wrap it up here in just a couple minutes, but I'd like to just, our 4 weeks is over. I feel sad. So, hopefully you guys will stick around and we'll continue to, I'm here for you all. If you have any questions, if you just need a little encouragement, all the instructors, we're here from this point on to see you through this wonderful training. So, reach out to me if you haven't already. I'm on Facebook a lot. My email is dixiestjohn@gmail.com. Never, never hesitate to contact me. So any last questions or comments before we go into a closing exercise, and then we'll be finished? Anyone? A 4-star. Okay. Well, we also have the forum thread open, so if you want to post any last-minute questions or comments on the forum, please feel free to do that. So remember our little circle of connection that we formed in the beginning of these weeks together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just like to, you know, imagine that we're coming back together. We've actually been together in that circle, and we're just coming back to just say so long for now and to, you know, to go on to our next practicum. And before we do that, I'd like each of us to just share just a little bit about where we've come from, or where we have arrived at, actually, in this coaching, this 4 weeks together. And I'm going to have that in the form of two questions. And it might, again, you only have to answer one word to each of these questions if you want. So very, very simple. I'm going to ask you to give me an answer to two things. Today, I'm leaving behind. And tell me what that is. And today, I'm leaving with. Today, I'm leaving behind. And today, I'm leaving with. Katrina, how would you answer those questions?
I would say I'm leaving behind the need to be right every single time. And I'm leaving with the appreciation of soul, tell me where I'm wrong. That's become kind of like almost like a way I'm living my life. Like, this is more than a few words, I'm sorry. But, like, even though putting out any kind of offering and just waiting for, like, an authentic response from someone else and really appreciating that answer. So,
beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Katrina. And indeed, that is a little acronym for, you know, for everything. If you use that, and you take, that's all you take with you, your life will change. So wonderful. Thank you so much, Katrina. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dixie.
Mm-hmm. Rachel. Four star. Rachel, if you're still here. Okay, how about Hope?
Sorry, I couldn't. No, I just couldn't unmute
okay,
for some
Rachel.
Reason, but I got it to work.
Hey.
Hi, sorry. So today I'm leaving behind expecting myself to be consciously competent. and today I'm leaving with really just the desire to practice more coaching.
Wonderful. Because that's how you're going to get there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rachel. It's been fun getting to
thank you. Thanks for
bit.
A great,
all
great
right.
run.
Mm-hmm.
I listened
you're
to a lot
welcome.
Of the other classes, and I felt like ours was a good one. So I was very happy to be in this group.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. You guys are sweet little caterpillars, and yeah, okay. You can't. A caterpillar can't be consciously competent right now, can it? It's like
right.
It's doing what it needs to do. No, but thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you so much, Rachel. Hope.
Okay. Today, I'm leaving behind at least one of the limiting beliefs that I uncovered in a coaching session. That was
okay.
Really that I wasn't even aware that I was carrying, and that once was pointed out to me made no sense to carry forth in my life, and I really feel like
wonderful.
I'm committed to leaving that behind, so that's wonderful. And today I'm leaving with, I think I'm leaving with an appreciation that the marmoset responses that I have when people talk to me are, you know, are valid and worth pursuing and paying attention to, and also an appreciation for how awesome you are, Dixie. You've been so terrific
aww.
With us, and I've learned so much from these 4 weeks. I want to thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. You're so very welcome. Oh, I feel you're giving me little goosebumps. That's so sweet. Thank you, Hope. I appreciate that. Okay. Tessa, did you join us? How about Joanna? Did you ever arrive, Joanna?
Hi, Dixie. Yes.
Yay, I saw your email. Awesome.
Okay, great. Fine. All right, so today I am leaving behind self-doubt. With your 4 weeks, I think I can actually do this thing. So, yes, I'm leaving behind self-doubt. And today I am leaving with a greater passion for practicing. Yeah, practicing the tools that you've taught us.
Yes. Yes, God. That's awesome, Joanna. I appreciate that as well for you and for all of us, because we are all coaches, guys. You all are coaches. Now you're just honing your skills. But you've got this. You really have. Thank you, Joanna. And thank you for coming to class late. That was great. You made it.
No problem. Thank you, Dixie.
All right. Okay. Keep in touch. Sarah. Sarah's still here? 4-star? How about Aida?
I'm here. Hi. I think I'm leaving behind just a really, it feels like a safe environment created by a very compassionate, wonderful coach. I feel like I don't know, your voice, everything about you, just everything that you have shared with us, like have just created this amazing place. And even though I was still not wanting to volunteer and did it at the last class, I just feel like, I don't know, I kind of wish I had done it sooner, because I felt like I got so much strength from your comments and the way that you, and even your comments to other people, like I just feel like you really have a way of building people up, and I just want to thank you for that. And I'm just really glad that that's what I'll be leaving with.
So. Thank you so much, Aida. And that's really, really sweet. And, you know, you did it when you were ready to do it, right? And just be proud of yourself for stepping up at the last class. I think you're going to walk away, like you said, with a strength for practicum too, that, you know, and belief in yourself. So when you first, I don't know if you remember, but when you first got on the call, I asked you guys where you were, and you said you were nervous, and you were grateful.
Yeah.
So I sensed that some of that nervousness, a little bit of that nervousness has gone away. Tell me
where I'm at. Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, and I think a lot of it was because of you, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Keep in touch, okay? I'm here for you guys. Okay, Dee Dee is not here. How about Lizelle?
Today I am leaving behind, I'd say apprehension or fear that I don't belong or I don't fit in. Mm-hmm. And I'm leaving with the feeling that I formed new friendships here, that I'm part of the community with you, Dixie, and everyone else on the line.
Wonderful. And you are, Lizelle. This is the most remarkable tribe. And it is, if you guys never, ever coached a day in your life, this will be so worth it for the transformations this is going to have on in your own lives, as well as just the connections you're going to make. It's just beautiful. So thank you so much, Lizelle. Stay in touch, okay?
I will.
All right, Adrian.
Yes, I am leaving behind my apprehension to speak up in class and my fear that I'm not really a coach, or my insecurity about that. And I'm taking with me a new sense of confidence that I feel like you have instilled in me by just by listening to you encourage other people. I feel like they're a lot like me, and I feel like I have some really strong tools to take with me in the future. I'm excited.
Yeah, you do, and I'm excited for you. Yeah, this is just the beginning, guys. And you know, this is, we've worked in the cocoon, and that's where you belong. That's where you transform, right? So I'm excited for you guys. And you're not going to believe what 7 months is going to do. You're going to be coming out of this just feeling just so empowered. So, and, you know, I just hope I'm glad that, you know, 4 weeks into it, you're already feeling that. So that lack of apprehension, Adrian. Thank you so much. Lisa Honnold.
Yes. Today I'm leaving behind the need to know where a conversation is going, because I like to plan, and I'm leaving with my tools on training wheels.
Yes.
To practice.
Hell yeah. That's absolutely perfect. Great job. It's been a pleasure, Lisa.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for me, too. I didn't know what to expect. And I'm curious, will you be in Pismo Beach in March?
I will.
Okay.
I am. If all goes well, that is my goal. And I'm not sure if I'll be part of the, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be the main act or not, but I usually always try to tag along and meet my students. So that's always my goal. So that everyone here that's there needs to come up and tell me, introduce yourself, okay, because I'm going to come across country for those hugs. Yeah, I usually go, and we have an Equus program usually following the meet and greet, so I usually try to double up and come by and get some free hugs. So that will be great. And also, we have a gathering of the tribe, guys. I don't know if you knew about that. That's coming up in April. A Wayfinder meetup. I believe the coaches in training are invited to that, if I'm not mistaken, in Austin. So a lot of fun things in the works. Catherine, are you there? I counted you as absent, but I just want to make sure. All right, Catherine's not there. All right, guys. Well, we have run over again, Hope, and I am sorry, but I am passing you on. Does anyone know who the next person is? Teaching who your next instructor is?
No.
I should know that. No? Okay. Well, whoever it is, she's going to be awesome because we have some excellent, excellent teachers for practicum too. So, but do stay in touch and circle back and say hi. And again, I'm here for you guys. And just love you all. And just keep on with the melting, because that's how you're going to get your wings. Okay? All right, guys. Have a great day, and I will talk to you all soon, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dixie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.